Well, it's great to be back with you this morning. I always love coming here, love coming to this church and to Nolamara, see your smiling faces again. Well, I've been greetings today from Centrepoint Church, which is my home church, and Pastor Joel and Sharon bring their warm greetings. And also I'd like to apologise that my wife Denise was unable to be here this morning because of other commitments, but her heart is with us this morning. So are you ready to pray? And then we'll jump right into the word. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness today. Lord, I just thank you that as, Lord, we come around worship and we come around spending time together, that things do just click, that things start to fall into place, things are revealed and shown to us that we wouldn't normally see. Lord, and I know right now you're moving across this congregation. And you're starting to bring revelation and understanding and a shift into people's hearts and lives so that this year that they can live out of a new place and find a new thing in you, a new season of blessing. So God, our ears are open today. Our eyes are open today. We're ready to hear from you and to have our lives changed and rearranged according to your blessing upon our lives. Lord, we want to thank you today for being here and your Holy Spirit in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's the start of a new year. 2020, so start of a new decade. And I believe that a start of a new incredible time for the church and the dispensation in which we live. But sometimes when we start a new season, we need to recalibrate our lives or make some shifts and some changes to be more fruitful and more productive in God or more close to God and more intimate to God. Sometimes we need to adjust. And I don't mind whether you've been a Christian for 2 weeks or 35, 40, 50 years, we all need to be making constant adjustments to stay in God's perfect will for our lives. Would you agree? Sometimes we need to come back to the things that are important. So this January 2020, this whole new decade, let's choose to make a few decisions to come back to the things that are important. Amen. Come back to the things of the kingdom that really matter. Come back to making a difference for Jesus. Amen. Okay. I noticed something a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm able to touch type. So the idea of touch typing is you can sit at your computer, sit at your keyboard, and you don't have to look at the computer keyboard. You can just look at the screen. Now, to help you with that, the designers of the keyboards have put two little tiny, tiny dots on two of the keys so that you can position your fingers without seeing. And you can know where all the letters are according to those two tiny little dots. So you know that your fingers are in the right place to be able to write stuff that makes sense. Have you seen that? Well, I found this. That if I touch type with one finger slightly to the right or one finger slightly to the left, nothing makes sense. It's just mumbo jumbo. I can be typing away, doing amazing things, but nothing makes sense because the calibration of my fingers is just one tiny little key out of place. Now I'm doing the right things, but nothing is making sense. And then I shift my finger back to the position it's meant to be, covering that little dot on that key, and then all of a sudden I can type and things make sense. Well, sometimes. You know, being slightly out of alignment can make an enormous difference in our lives. But if you start by positioning yourself correctly or being in alignment, then things change. And life can be very much like that. You know, this can be a new and fruitful season for you, but maybe there's just a slight realignment that needs to take place. So this morning, I would like to talk to you about something that many of us may find quite intimidating, but is very much at the centre of God's heart for you. What I'm talking about this morning is sharing your faith. Now, I purposefully haven't used the E word because the E word is quite intimidating. Would you agree? If I said evangelism, what happens in your heart? All of a sudden, we might start to think about programs or process that has teaching and outreach and structure. And let me tell you, programs and processes are okay, but there is a better way. The only reason we need process and programs for sharing our faith is that our lives aren't quite calibrated to God's perfect will for you. So we've had to make programs and processes to align ourselves and remind ourselves of God's will and purpose for us. Well, I was personally really reminded of this the other day, and it actually came as quite a surprise. But I got a phone call from a customer of mine. Now, he rang me up and he said, "Ian, I would like to come and meet with you, and I would like to talk to you about a job that I would like you to do, and I've got some things to bring to you." And now, my customer lived in Peppermint Grove, and we live all the way down in Safety Bay. And I said to him, I said, "You don't need to come all that distance for us to talk about this job. We can talk about it on the phone, or I'm always up in your area. I don't mind dropping into you, or we can meet on your boat or at the yacht club where I do most of my work." And he said, no, I really would like to come to you." So he got in his car and he drove all the way down to my place, and he sat in my living room with a cup of coffee, and he talked about the job. But then he started to talk about his son-in-law, who was diagnosed with cancer at a very early age, and the impact that that would have upon his life, and the impact that that was having upon his family, and started to share his heart about this situation that he faced that was obviously really deep and dear to him. And I listened, and I tried to say the right thing, and then he left my home and went back to his home, and my wife, as good wives do, came to me and he said, "Ian," she said, "you didn't even offer to pray for him. And you didn't lay hands on him on the spot. And you didn't talk to him about hope and life in Jesus." And I thought to myself, I thought, "You're right. I totally missed that situation that God had arranged for this man. And I totally missed it. Now I should know better, shouldn't I?" That if there's going to be an unusual situation, I was quite surprised that this guy was driving all the way down to my house. God had a plan and a purpose, and I totally missed it. My thoughts weren't correctly aligned with what God was doing. I was slightly out of alignment with God's will and plan and purpose for that man. And if our thoughts aren't correctly calibrated or aligned with God's plans, we miss opportunities that he sends our way. You know, I had to ring my customer back and I apologized to him. I said, "Look, I want to be able to pray for your son-in-law, and I want to be able to help in any way I can. And he was amazingly grateful. He said, look, it really means a lot. I am so grateful that you've offered to pray for him. Not a Christian, doesn't personally know God, was deeply impacted by my offer to pray. Now, I should have done that initially. You see, that's not evangelism. Well, it is that, but it's not an evangelistic program. It's life. And God will give us opportunities every day of our life, if we are willing, to have encounters with those that he has placed around us. You see, through our faith in God, you are encouraging for others to have faith in God. So we are sharing our faith. Did you catch that? Through our faith in God, through me being able to say to my customer, I believe that God can do something in your son-in-law's life. We are encouraging other people to have the same faith in God to believe for the miraculous. That is what sharing our faith is all about. I'm sharing my faith with another. You know, I noticed that these things, or the topic of sharing our faith in Jesus' teaching in the Bible, in fact, were quite interesting. I was noted the choices that he made as far as analogies and parables about sharing our faith. And we're going to have a look at just a couple. I want you to notice a couple of things. Are you ready? So grab your Bibles out. So this is Matthew 5, verse 13. And Matthew 5, 13 says this. If you haven't got your Bibles up on the screen, it says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, I ask you, does salt have to struggle to be salty? Is it difficult for salt to be salty? No. It's just who it is. It's just what it is. And let's have a quick look at Matthew 5, verse 14, which is the next verse. It says, you are the light of the world. Well, does light have to struggle to light? No, it's just what it is. You see, it just has to be present and release what it already has. Now, salt to be salty. All it has to do is be present in your food and it releases what it has. See, salt has what it needs to bring flavor, and light has what it needs to dispel darkness. And let me declare this morning that you have what you need to share your faith. So you might be thinking, oh, evangelism. I'm not good at that. In fact, I'm terrible at that. I'm no good at that. Well, you know what? Naturally, we're not. I'm not either. But it's not about us. Don't you think that God knew that we're not naturally good at sharing our faith with others? Don't you think he understood that what we're like in the natural? See, he knew that left to our own resources, we would have no hope of sharing our faith with this dying world. So he had a plan. And this is the plan. Let's turn to John 14, 18. And Jesus made this statement to the disciples just before he left the earth. And he said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. In verse 18. Then further down, in verse 26 of the same chapter, he said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now listen, this is important. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this morning, when it comes to sharing your faith, Jesus has equipped you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit so that we are equipped to fulfill his purpose on the earth. And then in the same scripture, he said, my peace I leave with you. Don't worry. It's okay. Don't stress about this thing. I have equipped you. I've given you what you need. You are the salt. You already have the flavor. You are the light. You already carry that brilliance. We have been equipped by God. In fact, when it came to his disciples, he took it one step further. And this is Luke verse 24:49. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You notice what it says? It says, tarry, wait, don't go anywhere, don't do anything. You're not ready, you're not equipped, you don't have the resources, but I am going to come and you will receive power when I do. Now you're catching this. Jesus knew in the natural that we do not have the capacity, we do not have the strength, we do not have the knowledge, we do not have the power to be able to share the gospel of Christ to this world. Amen? So it's not about you. It's about you and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can anyone say amen? It's a partnership. It's not something that you've been called to do on your own. He's chosen to need you, and you need him. This is something we do together. And if you can live with the awareness of that partnership, you will start to change lives for eternity. But it's a matter of living in the awareness that the Holy Spirit resides in you in power for you to be able to effectively touch those around you. See, I sat in my living room with my customer, not being tuned or aligned to what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit had made a way and an opportunity for me that I totally missed. Sometimes I don't miss it, sometimes I get it right. But I just believe God that every day is going to make opportunities. And when we start to do this journey with the Holy Spirit, life becomes this incredible unfolding of these opportunities in God. You know, I learned this lesson a number of years ago. It was actually quite a long time ago now, but it deeply impacted my life and changed my life forever, this encounter. What happened was Denise and I were living in Africa, and we were missionaries in Africa, and we spent 4 years there. We were there for quite a long time. And one morning I woke up and I felt convicted that I hadn't shared the gospel with anybody in the last few days or recently. And I was thinking, oh God, I'm a missionary here in Africa and I haven't shared the gospel with anybody recently. So I prayed this prayer to God, and it was a very interesting prayer for me to pray, and maybe a dangerous prayer to pray. But I said, God, today, I want you to bring someone across my path who I can share your gospel with. But I didn't leave it that. I said, God, I want you, while I'm sharing the gospel with this person, I want you to show me a sign that this is you. I want you to show me a sign that your Holy Spirit is with me. I want you to show me a sign that you have arranged this, that you have preordained this, so I know that I'm flowing in your purposes. So I finished praying and I went about my day. And I actually forgot that I had prayed the prayer. Now I was out surfing, as all good missionaries do, and I was sitting on my surfboard. And there was a guy sitting next to me and we were chatting, you know, high between waves, we were talking to each other. And he noticed that I had an Australian accent. And he said to me, "Oh, okay, you're from Australia, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually a missionary here and we're here to share about Jesus." And I started telling him what we were doing and then started to share with him about Jesus. And you know what? As I was doing that, I heard a noise in the sky. And I looked up in the sky and there was an aeroplane flying across the sky with this huge sign behind it that said, "Jesus is Lord." And I thought, God, I asked for a sign. You know, the guy on the surfboard next to me was just as shocked as I was. He said, "How did you do that?" When we start to realize that sharing the gospel is a partnership, then it becomes a very different thing. It starts to become empowered. It starts to become effective. It starts to become easier. I won't say easy, but it's easier. Because we're not doing this alone. This is something that God orchestrates through his Holy Spirit. Why not start asking him for signs and markers on people who he wants you to share the gospel to? You see, in this city of ours, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Now, many, or maybe not many, but there's lots of people in our city who are ready to hear the gospel. They're ready. If you clearly communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, they would respond and say, "I want that." We just got to know who they are. So we've got to believe God will orchestrate our lives and your life in manners so that we can reach these people, we can touch these people, we can come in contact with the right people. Wouldn't it be an incredible journey if every morning of our lives we woke up and said, "God, today, lead me to that person and show me a sign." He wants to do that this morning. He loves this stuff. You know, that experience I had, it was hilarious. It was laughable how crazy that was. God wants to have fun with you. This isn't some arduous, heavy, uncomfortable, nasty task that God has given you. It's something he wants to empower you in for fruitfulness. Amen? Amen. We just need to shift our alignment just a little. Start to see it just a little bit different. Start to understand sharing the gospel maybe from a slightly different angle, and all of a sudden things will work. Amen? All right. Well, there's four things that I just want to share with you this morning and ask you to keep in mind about sharing our faith. Amen? You don't need to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to have attended Bible college. It's helpful, but you don't. You don't have to know all of the books of the Bible backwards. You don't have to have read all of the Bible backwards, but it's very handy done. I have noticed that some of the most fruitful and passionate people when it comes to sharing our faith are people who have been saved for a day, a week, a month, new Christians. Because they have this enthusiasm about what God has just done. They're still walking in that sense of, "Wow, I've been forgiven." They still have that passion that seems to come with the release of God on their lives. Now, I know as older Christians, we all should still have that, and that comes and goes in some ways. But we've got to remember that we still have a testimony that is powerful. Did you know in Revelations it says that the church overcome by the power of God and the word of their testimony? We all have one of those. We all have a God encounter to share. We all have a testimony that says, God changed my life. If you don't, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get one today. All you need is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be a spiritual giant. You just need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's all about relationship and friendship. You know, this is something I love about the Christian journey and our walk in God, is most of it is about relationship. See, coming to know Jesus isn't about program and plan and training. It's about relationship. Coming to know the Holy Spirit and moving in Him and learning how to move in power, that's about relationship. Relationship is vitally important. Mark 13:10 says this. It says, and the gospel must be first preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So how important is it that we're actually in relationship with the Holy Spirit when it comes to dealing with this world? Because God's going to give you what you need. But you need to be in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, in awareness of Him. Let me ask you, how good would my relationship with my wife be if I had little or no awareness of her? Pretty bad, right? Good relationship is about constant awareness. Wives, would it be nice if your husband was just constantly aware of you? I try to be constantly aware of what my wife is doing, where she is, what she's up to, what she's thinking. Being aware, because relationship is about being aware. I understand my wife because I'm aware. And if we want to know the Holy Spirit and we want to understand the Holy Spirit, we've got to be aware. Always aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, minute to minute. You know, training is good, but awareness is essential. And you know what's great? You can change that today. This is the awesome part. I love this about the kingdom. Every day. That's why the Bible says this is the day. Because every day is a new opportunity to be able to change the way you do life with God. And today is the day you can change the way you do life with the Holy Spirit and go, okay, I'm going to be constantly aware of you. You know, you do not have to be a spiritual giant. One of the things that my wife and I have really enjoyed doing is taking encounter trips overseas. Now, the reason we take people overseas to do encounter trips is because it gets them out of their own environment, unlocks them from their Australian confines, so to speak. So we'll take small teams overseas into nations that are receptive, usually to the gospel, so that we can allow people who haven't experienced the power of God to see and experience the power of God. So the last one we did, we went to the Philippines and we took a team from Sound City Church. Now, there were people on that team who'd never laid hands on people, never seen the miraculous, never seen someone get saved in their own life through their own ministry. So we take these people overseas and we drop them into ministry environment for 2 or 3 days. In fact, we only do it for 2 or 3 days. And you know, after those couple of days, those people who'd never experienced any ministry whatsoever were laying hands on the sick, seeing them healed. They were prophesying over people. They were walking in the miraculous, and they were seeing people saved through their own testimony of faith. You do not need to be a spiritual giant. You just need the Holy Spirit. And he's making opportunities for us all every day of our lives. Where was I? So you have just what you need. You have what you need. You just need to be aware and release it. Amen? The second thing we need to be aware of is that if we align our thinking towards sharing our faith, God will always show up. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that when it comes to sharing your faith, power is available? You know, I love to see healings in the church, but I see far more healings outside the church. Because that's what they're for. That's what they're designed for. They're designed for us to be healed, but they're designed for your next door neighbor to be healed. You know, the miraculous and the power of God is not just for in here, it's for out there. In fact, it works better out there. That has been my experience. I've seen far more powerful encounters outside of the church than I ever have inside the church. And I pastored a church for 10 years. The power of the Christian life is found in sharing our faith. That's what it's for. Have a listen to this. Now, this is the Great Commission. But there's one part of the Great Commission that I'm going to highlight this morning. And this is Mark 16, 15 to 18. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, stop there. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Now he makes this statement that I want you to be really aware of this morning. He says this, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. There is no coincidence that the Great Commission is followed by an instruction of power. Because that's what the power is for. See, protection and power is a promise connected to sharing our faith. Amazing miracles and power have always been linked to sharing our faith. Do you know, in the last 33 years of being a Christian, I've seen the blind healed. My wife prayed for a blind lady. If I get time, I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. I've seen the crippled walk. I've seen possessed people delivered. I've seen healing after healing. But they've all been in the situations of out there, not in here. They've been when I've been sharing my faith. They've been in situations of outreach. They've been when the gospel is being ministered. If we share our faith, power is available. It's not just for church services, which is great. It is for church services, but it's for you. It's for you. I've got time to share this. I'll just really quickly share this. The first time I ever preached in my life, I'd been a Christian for about 8 months, and we were on a short-term missions trip in the Philippines. So we were green as grass, my wife and I. We had very little understanding of what we were doing. Not that we have a lot more understanding of what we're doing now, but. So we went across with a team from our home church, and we did a few outreaches with the leader who led the team, and he said, Ian, now you're ready to go out and do your own outreach. So my wife and I took a couple of other people, and we went out into the back blocks, into the Philippines, and we did a little outreach, and we set up, and I played my guitar, which was really bad because I only knew 3 chords, and I played This Is The Day or something like that. And we had this little outreach, And I preached this really simple message, this really simple evangelistic message, and 16 people gave their lives to Jesus. Now, I was shocked, absolutely shocked, that I could preach this simple message and 16 people gave their lives to Jesus. But straight after that message, a lady was brought to Denise, and Denise wasn't feeling well. She was sitting off to the side. She wasn't really involved, but she's sitting on the side. Some young people brought this old lady to Denise and said, "Look, would you mind praying for my grandmother? She can't see. Her eyes were like hatteracts over and she can't see." And Denise laid hands on her, and after laying hands through the interpretation of these children, she said, "I can see a little better." So she laid hands again and prayed for again. She said, "I can see it even better still." And after the third time of laying hands on her, she could see totally. Now, that was amazing enough, but the circumstances were she had never seen her grandkids. So you should have seen this. This was a mess. This turned the village upside down. So 16 people got saved. A lady got healed of blindness right there on the spot. And we've been saved about 8 months. But those sort of miraculous things are often connected to sharing our faith. This is what power gifts are for. The third thing you need to be aware of when sharing your faith is it isn't just a suggestion, but it's at the center of the two greatest commandments. When Jesus was asked, "What are the two greatest commandments of all?" he said this, or this scripture is recorded. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?' Jesus said to him, 'To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So basically Jesus is saying, forget the rest. If you can do these things, you'll be okay. Love the Lord with all your God and all your mind and all your heart. And I think everyone in this building this morning would say, amen. I get that. Then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let me tell you, if you've given your life to Jesus, don't you want to, our best expression of loving our neighbor is sharing the incredible things that God has given us. How could we not share what makes our lives complete? How we've been delivered and set free. How we are forgiven and made righteous in Him. How we are empowered by His power. How we are saved from death to eternal life. Why would we not share those things with the people that we love? If we love those people, we would, right? I ask myself these same questions, and you know what? I come up very short. This is something that I constantly need to recalibrate in my own life to keep me on track. If loving Him and loving others is our two greatest commandments, then this is super important to God. Amen? Okay, let's just get practical for a minute. Look, love is always the best way to share our faith. There is no better way of sharing our faith than with love. People respond to love. People need love. People want love. They want to be cared for. They want to be listened to. If you can love someone, then you will have their ear. My experience has been is that when I build a relationship with someone as a friend, just a genuine friendship, I get to the point where whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, I can share whatever I would like to in their life in love. No problem. I can tell my unsaved friends about Jesus because they know me and they love me and they experience love from me. Love gives access that's unbridled. Love gives you the right to speak whatever you want into people's lives. Now, cold evangelism might be fruitful in some situations, but let me tell you, love is the center. Love is what works. Also, time taken to listen. If you become a good listener, I think I told you last time I was here about a circumstance I had. I probably haven't got time for that. But the situation was this. This unsaved man came to me, he was swearing his head off and all this sort of thing. He was in our church. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do about this guy? And the Holy Spirit kept saying, say nothing, say nothing. So I didn't. So he continued with his rant and he continued with his swearing and he continued with his thing. And God, the Holy Spirit kept saying, say nothing. Don't say a thing. And in the end, he told me about his family and he broke down and cried. This strong, tattooed Aussie male broke down and cried. And I hadn't said a thing. All I had to do was lay my hand upon him and pray for him and just minister a prayer of love to him. If we learn to listen, you'll find that there's doorways into people's lives that didn't exist before. Thirdly, be consistent. You know, be a Christian. If you're a Christian, hello, be consistent. Do what Christians are meant to do. Don't lie to people. You know, keep it right. Don't get drunk. Don't do inappropriate things. Don't make lewd jokes. It says don't make inappropriate jokes in the Bible. Cease from coarse jesting. You know, keep it straight. Live a life that's worth duplicating. You know, be real, be consistent. And look, you don't need to argue with people when it comes to the gospel. My experience has been if I don't agree with something that somebody says, then I just ignore it. I just don't say anything. I don't argue with them. And look, God's a big God. He doesn't need you to stick up for him. All he's asked you to do is love people. He'll stick up for himself. He can take care of himself. If you don't agree with people, just ignore them and just continue being positive and loving in their presence. Offer to pray for people in need. That really opens the door. You know, I've very rarely had a situation where people have said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Usually, even in public, I've prayed for people in public and people have been no problems with it at all, purely because people want to receive. It's unusual that they'll say no. You know, invite them to church. You know, there's people across our city who would love to be here this morning, but they haven't been invited. That's true. They would come if you invite them. Not always, but hey, what have we got to lose? Always be positive and upbeat with people. Don't be the negative, you know, sad sack Christian. Be positive, you know. I find that laughing things off that people say to me is my best defense. Just, you know, ha ha ha, joke it off, da da da, and carry on. But always be respectful. Always, always be respectful of other people's opinions and other people's beliefs. Always be respectful. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set Christ apart as holy as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. Now that's the Bible speaking. Please remember that. Fourthly, this whole thing becomes an amazing daily adventure. If we can consider this every morning when we wake, if you can, while you, I don't know where it is where you pray, whether you pray in bed or whether you pray sitting on the toilet or whether you pray in your lounge room, wherever that is, when you offer those first prayers to God in the day, why don't you start with this? God, today, can you give me an opportunity? Can you arrange something? Can you help me to be able to come across the right person today? Just ask the band to come and help me, please. And ask God for the words to speak. You don't have to be a brilliant person with the words to speak. God said he'll help you. And ask the Holy Spirit to go with you and be part of whatever it is you're doing in this day. Let your daily journey begin with asking him. And you know what? God will bring situations to you, but you just need to see them. Keeping in mind this thing. Do I have your attention? every person in this room today, God has positioned strategically amongst a group of other people who don't know him. You, I don't mean to point, sorry, and you all have been positioned strategically by God. He knows who you are. He has your phone number. He knows what your life is meant to be. And he's placed the people around you so that you can have impact to them. Whether that's just loving on them, whether that's encouraging them, whether that's laying hands on them and seeing them healed, but he's placed you in that position. Now, I don't want to get to heaven and have God say, look, Ian, I placed you amongst these people. You did nothing about it. And really, I didn't have anyone else there to do the job. We all have a responsibility to the task at hand. And you know what? It's not about the big scary E word. It's about relationship. It's about walking every minute with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that there's not one person in this room that you don't love and you don't care for. And Lord, I thank you every person in this room you have an exciting life for. You have an exciting plan for. And you have a desire to have relationship with every person in this room. So just while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if there's anyone in this room, if you can hear my voice this morning, and you have never connected yourself to Jesus Christ, if you've never received the gift that Jesus has for you, if you've never received his acceptance and his love and his forgiveness and his grace, then I want to give you this opportunity this morning. If in this moment you would like to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus has purchased for you and live a life of exciting adventure in him, I just want you to give me a wave this morning. For the first time, if you've never done this before, if you've never received him as your personal Lord, this is the start of an incredible journey, an amazing adventure in him. Anyone? Okay. That means that every person in this place is connected by relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's very important that each one of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience, a separate encounter from giving your life to Jesus Christ. And it's evidenced with the speaking of tongues. It's evidenced with lots of things, but that's one of the things that it's evidenced by. So if you're here this morning, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you would like to be, I would like to give you this opportunity. Because this is where the Christian life starts to have power. It's that relationship with the Holy Spirit that will release you to do this life and do this life well. If you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to give me a wave, and I'd love to pray for you at the conclusion of this service. If you live a Christian life that has no power, or you feel like God isn't even just on your horizon in your relationship with him, just I want you to see me afterwards as well. Otherwise, I want to pray for each one of you. So would you mind standing with me? And I'm just going to pray a declarative prayer over your life this morning. Amen. You ready? If you're ready to receive, just soak it up. Lord, I just thank you today that this is your church, that this is your people that you have called, that you have died for and you have set free. You have liberated them from the chains of death. And they're powerful people. They're people who have vision and they're people who have life and they're people who have strength. They're people that you have called for your purpose. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bring your Holy Spirit freshly upon them today. And, Father, you would start every day of your life, their lives, to show them and lead them through encounters in you. That they would see people give their lives to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this year we would see more new salvations in this church than ever recorded in the past. I pray that people, these people, would start to bring their friends and their friends would start to give their lives to Jesus. Lord, we pray for the church to be impacted across this city by an influx of new salvations. Lord, I pray that churches would grow all across this city because of new salvations. 2020, let it be the year of harvest. 2020, let it be the year of change. Lord, I just ask that every one of these good people would take it upon themselves to share their faith. God, we just thank you for your goodness and bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen.